And turn ye not aside, for then ye should go after vain things, which cannot profit nor deliver, for they are vain. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it has pleased the Lord to make you his people. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you the good and the right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all of your heart. For consider how great things he hath done for you. But if ye shall still do wickedly, ye shall be consumed, both ye and your king. So I want to share just a few thoughts tonight here from Samuel. Samuel's advice after sin. Samuel's advice after sin. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we are so thankful for the opportunity to gather tonight, Lord. And Lord, I do thank you, Lord, for these young folks, Father, for their willingness to be used of you, God. Thank you so much for the talents and abilities that you've given them and their heart to share it and to be used, Father. Lord, we pray now that you would meet with us as we look into your word, Father. We pray that you would open our hearts and our minds, Father, that you would help your word to be clear to us and encourage us and challenge us, Father. I pray for wisdom and direction, Lord, that I'd say what only needs to be said for your honor and glory. And we'll thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so you probably know the context of this. In 1 Samuel chapter number 10, we see Saul kind of coming king. The children of Israel were the king. They wanted to be like everybody else. And so they're like, we're the king. And Samuel was, you know, the prophet at the time. He's kind of the leader, if you would, of the group. Chapter 11, you see, you know, some of the first acts of him as king. There's a battle that happens. And then in chapter 12, you know, many people call it Samuel's farewell address. Samuel's still on the scene. I think it's maybe more of a transition, maybe a handover of authority from Samuel to Saul is what's happening in verse 12. But in chapter 12, what you find here is Samuel actually confronts the people about their sin. Look back in verse 16. Now therefore, stand and see this great thing which the Lord will do before your eyes. So Samuel's talking to the children of Israel and says, hey, look, watch this. I'm going to show you something. Is it not wheat harvest today? And so for them, the time of wheat harvest was the time when it was dry. You know, if you look out, you can see typically harvest time, it's a drier time. The wheat would have dried out. It's time to harvest it. Wouldn't have been a time of rain, certainly of storms. I will call unto the Lord, and he shall send thunder and rain, that you may perceive and see that your wickedness is great, which you have done in the sight of the Lord, in asking you a king. So Samuel here is confronting the people, saying, you've sinned, you asked for a king, you're just trying to be like everybody else, kind of pushing against what the Lord would want, doing your own thing. Verse 18, so Samuel called on the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day, and all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. And all the people said unto Samuel, pray for thy servants unto the Lord thy God, that we go not. For we have added unto all our sins this evil to ask us a king. So the people say, hey, Samuel, pray and ask the Lord not to kill us. We know we've sinned. You know, this is, you know, we understand we've done it. We saw this great miracle. We saw the Lord in the thunder at this time. That's not normal. We're scared, and we've sinned. And that's why I want to kind of look at these next five verses here. And from this passage, I want to point out four don'ts that Samuel shares of what not to do after we've sinned. And so the first one we see there in verse 20, pretty obvious. Samuel said unto the people, fear not. So the first don't fear. Don't fear. Now, fear in the Bible typically could have two, maybe a few others, but typically two different actually meanings. And so kind of two fears. So I was trying to find, you know, how do I describe those two fears. In this passage, you see both of them. But I was reading, and Luther actually had a lot to say about this. And the distinction he made was, he called it two different kinds of fear. He called it a servile fear, and I'll talk about what that means, and a filial fear, and I'll talk about what that means. But servile fear, it's what it sounds like, a fear of a slave, a fear of a servant. Now, the kind of fear that a prisoner would have of his executioner or his jailer or tormentor, you know, somebody that's dreadfully anxious about a clear and present danger typically coming from another person. And again, maybe like a slave would have toward an owner that beat him. That's the kind of fear actually that he's talking about. Right? A fear of some consequence that's coming your way. The other fear would be a familial fear. And that word comes from the Latin concept, the Latin word for family. So it would be the fear that a child would have for his father. And again, we'll talk more about this one later, but by way of tremendous respect, you know, reverence, a child loving their mother, loving their father. And the fear is a fear of offending the one that you love, offending the one that provides for you. But here we see where that servile fear. The fear that these people had was, oh, I'm serving, and the Lord's going to kill us. He's going to get us. And so they have that fear. But that's not the kind of fear. Samuel says, don't fear. Don't let that be the fear that is motivating you. And when you think about how that fear shows up in our lives, and I've seen examples of this, you know, people have the fear of sin. You know, everyone kind of alluded to this, actually. You know, I've sinned. The Lord can't use me anymore. I've done this big thing. I've done this thing against God, and God can't use me. And people fear that the Lord can't use them. The Lord can't forgive them. People are like, I don't know how you can forgive me for this. I've done this thing. I don't know how I can be used by you. And I've seen that fear, you know, cripple people. I've seen that fear impact people's ministry. You know, they sin, and you know, we're all sinned. We've been talking about that for the mission trip, folks. We've been memorizing the Romans right in for all of sin to come short of the glory of God. We've all sinned. But when you let that sin create that fear of God, it's going to drive you the wrong direction. So the number one thing that Samuel says, first of all, is fear not. Don't fear. And that one kind of fear can actually lead to the second don't. And the second don't is don't turn. Don't turn away from the Lord. You see this, look in verse 20. Fear not that you've done all this wickedness, yet turn not aside from following the Lord. So many times you see this, the reason why I was kind of preparing for this and thinking about this, I thought about Adam. And I'll tell you just really fast into Genesis chapter 3. Again, you probably all know this story. But remember Adam in the garden. Adam in the garden after they had sinned. Genesis chapter number 3. Genesis chapter 3. Maybe read verse 8 here. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And verse 9, and the Lord called and said to Adam, where art thou? And verse 10, and Adam said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. This is really interesting as I was kind of thinking about it in this idea of being afraid and then turning from God. You know, some people, you know, would say that, you know, Adam and Eve walked through the garden in the cool of the day with God, and, you know, the Bible doesn't exactly say that, but I do believe Adam knew God. Adam obviously knew God's voice. So when God spoke, Adam knew that was God's voice and went and hid himself. But just think about the relationship that God and Adam would have had. You know, this is Creator God. The God that created all that wonderful stuff in the garden, all those wonderful animals, and Adam, and Eve. And Adam would have known God. And would have known him in a way where he heard his voice audibly. Think of it. You know, use your imagination, your sanctified imagination with me, and think about what that would be like to hear the audible voice of God and to have that relationship with God. And then Adam here, after he has sinned, and this is the first sin, you know that, after he sinned, he hid himself. He hid from that God, the person that he had heard his voice, that knew he knew he saw what he had done, he understood it, but he hid from him. He turned, he's like, he was afraid, he had the wrong kind of fear, like I talked about. And I think that happens in our lives today. You know, one of the ways I think I see it in our lives is backslidden. You know, sometimes we use the word backslidden. You know, you're backslidden. And I think sometimes that's what happens. You know, we sin, you get a little bit away from God. You know, maybe you miss a service here and there. Maybe you don't read your Bible. And, you know, it gets easier and easier to do that kind of thing. And you begin to turn. You begin to turn away from God. And here Samuel tells these people, after they've sinned, he tells them, look, hey, don't be afraid. But also, don't turn away from God. This is the wrong time. This is the exact opposite thing you need to do. And it gives two kind of specific things. Look in verse 21, back in our text in 1 Samuel chapter 12. In verse 21, it says, and turn you not aside, for then you should go after vain things, which cannot profit nor deliver, for they are vain. And man, I see that in our world today. You know, and it may be on purpose that people turn to vain things. It may be as a distraction. You know, maybe it's your job. You know, maybe it's, you know, you get caught up in your job and you're like, you're too busy or you're just ashamed of your sin, right? You feel like God, you know, you're ashamed of your sin, which is what we know Adam was facing. you get distracted, you find a distraction. You find something to try to fill that void that you kind of missed from God, and you fill that, but maybe you turn to a job or entertainment, or maybe it's toys or sports. You know, maybe it's the philosophies of this world we turn to. But Samuel, he tells the children of Israel, he tells them, hey, don't turn aside. For when you do, verse 21, for then you should go after vain things. And you know, like these young people sharing their testimonies and some of the things they share, hey, turning to God is the answer. Not anywhere else you turn, let me tell you, is a vain thing. Any other choice that you make, any other thing that you do, when you sin, the answer is not to turn aside. At any point in our life, that should be the time we turn to God. Not run away from God, not hide ourselves from God. And so the second thing is, Samuel kind of doubles down on that same idea at the end of verse 20, because he says, yet turn not aside from following the Lord. He gives them what to do. But instead of turning, serve the Lord with all your heart. Serve the Lord. You know, go all in. Don't turn away from God, turn to God. Kenneth's testimony was an awesome example of that, and I didn't even pay her to do that. That was the perfect example. Right? She was facing a hard time. She recognized, you know, things weren't great. Turn to God and listen to the testimony. Listen, the perfect example. I have to give you an example of what that looks like. We turn to God. We already heard that. That is what God would have us to do. But you know what? So many times we don't do that. You know, I think we all know and see, right? Isaiah 51:2 says, but your iniquities have separated you between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you. Look, our sin, when we do sin, it does create some separation. And the thing we need to do is 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so instead of turning away from God after our sin, and again, we're all sin, okay? We shouldn't be too proud to say, that's not me, I don't have that problem. After our sin, we should run to God. We should double back down here, like he says, but serve the Lord with all your heart. Get right back at it. Get right back. Put your feet right back to the ground. Get right back to doing what God would have you to do. Don't let that separation cause you to continue to backslide, continue to get further away. Because sin does create that problem. But we need to run back toward God. So go for it. Don't turn. And number three, don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. Look at verse 22. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake. Because it has pleased the Lord to make you his people. And you know, I kind of hit this point for me already a little bit. You know, God will not forsake us. What a wonderful reason not to fear. What a wonderful reason not to turn. We shouldn't be discouraged. God will not forsake his people. And you're like, okay, that sounds good. It goes on in this verse to say, why? For his great name's sake. Samuel tells the children of Israel here, look, the Lord is not going to forsake you. Not just because he's God and that's who he is, but for the sake of his own name, he won't forsake you. Man, ain't that good? That's good for me. I'm glad that God's not going to forsake me, not just because he says it, and that should be enough, and he does, but because of his own name's sake, because of who he is, because of the holiness and who God is, he will not forsake us. What a wonderful thing. And what else can we read? you got the word. 1 John. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. My little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. Okay, well, that's good. If any man sin, which we already know, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. We have an advocate. When we fear, we don't have to be discouraged about that. You know, again, testimony earlier in the verse she was talking about. We have an advocate. God loves us. He's not looking to cast us aside. He wants to draw us back into him. And not just that, he is advocating for us. He is on our side. He is for us. God is not sitting up in heaven going, they sinned, zap. You know, they sinned. That's not what God's doing. God is up in heaven saying, Lord, that one sinned, advocating for us. Loving us, seeking for us to turn back to him. That's what God is doing. Jesus Christ, the righteous, is on our side. And he is advocating for you, even when you're in sin. Even when you've sinned. Because that's what this verse says. 1 John 2:1. And if any man sin, we have an advocate. So So in that time of sin, don't be discouraged that, you know, God can't use me, or I don't know how I can go on, I don't know how I can serve or minister, I don't know how I can do whatever, fill in the blank. No. God is advocating for you. God wants you to get back. God doesn't want you to be discouraged and be down about that. So the first thing we see here is not to be discouraged because God is with us. And number two, look, Samuel kind of further kind of goes down a path to say, I'm going to be here for you too. Verse 23, moreover, Samuel says, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pay for you. And so here Samuel says, look, I'm going to pay for you. I'm going to pray for you guys. Remember, the children of Israel were scared. They were just in a miracle where God made it thunder and rain at a time in the year where it didn't thunder and rain. They thought God was going to take their lives. They were scared. And Samuel says, hey, look, the Lord's not going to forsake you. But he goes on to say, hey, look, eat for me. I'm going to pray for you. And let me tell you something. Hey, we've got people here. We've got a pastor that prays for us. We've got a church that prays for you. You've got friends. You've got family around people that pray for you. We don't have to be discouraged. Other people are with us. Very similar to some of the comments Ashley had made about sharing with other people. You know, the Lord has put people in our path to help us, to encourage us. And we should use those people that God has put in our path. They can give encouragement to us. So when we say it, we shouldn't be discouraged. Number one, God is with us. But number two, He has put other people around us to help us, to come along beside us. You know, a church family. I love our church family, how we pray for one another, the prayer requests, and the time we spend together. That is a sweet time. And that's the way God meant it to be. And we should use one another for that. But it doesn't stop, actually, when I pray for you. Look at the rest of verse 23 at the end. He says, I'm not going to cease to pray for you, but I will teach you to go in the right way. So he says, look, I'm going to pray for you, but not only am I going to pray for you, I'm going to teach you. I've got some godly counsel for you. I'm going to give you some wisdom. I'm going to help you through this thing. You know, I'm going to help you get through. I'm going to teach you what's good and what's right. I'm going to give you that. And again, God has placed you guys in a church, placed us in a church. We've got a pastor that does that. We've got Sunday school teachers that do that. Right? We've got people that are willing to teach us. We've got great families, great people. You know, the Bible says there's wisdom in the multitude of counselors. You know, God has placed us in a place, in a church here, with other Christians. He's placed you in a family, he's placed you in a youth group. You know, he's given us people in our lives that can help us. And I've got those people in my life. I've got people that I turn to. I've got people that I look to. You know, these people say, I'm going to be that person for you. You know, we should have those people. If you don't have them, you should find them. Let me encourage you to find some of those people. If you have that person, hey, be that Samuel. That Samuel was to somebody else. The children of Israel, who as a collective, was scared. You know, they knew they had Samuel asking for a king. And they saw a miracle, and they were afraid that the Lord was going to take their life. In verse 19, and Samuel said, I'm going to pray for you, but I'm not just going to pray for you. I'm going to teach you. I'm going to help you through this. I'm going to show you the right way. So don't fear. Don't turn. Don't be discouraged. And finally, don't quit. Don't quit. So in verse 24, we see that other fear. Verse 24, only fear the Lord. And this is the other fear I talked about. So it's paradoxical, right? So, you know, he starts off saying fear not, and then he comes down here and he says fear the Lord, right? So it's like, okay, how could that be? What's going on? It's those two meanings of fear I talked about. This one is that fear that, like, a child would have for their parent. That respect, that love, you know, that idea of, you know, you're motivated to please that person, not because you fear the wrath or you fear the punishment. You're motivated to love them because they're your provider, because of who they are, and you know them, you know. And I fear, this fear causes trust. It causes respect. It causes reverence. It causes obedience. And again, it comes from knowing who He is. It comes from understanding His holiness, His power, and the lovingness of our Heavenly Father. And as I was thinking about this thing, Job came across my mind. And if you remember, in Job 1:8, when the Satan came along, and the Lord said to Satan, has thou considered my servant Job? There is none like him. And he gives a couple of descriptions of why there was none like him in the earth. A perfect and upright man, one that feareth God. And Job is described as a man that feared God. Now, Satan tried to come back and say, well, I think Job only fears you, God, because you got a hedge of protection about him. You know, it's kind of that first kind of fear, that servant fear, or, Job only loves you, and only serves you because, he's a slave to you because you're giving him good stuff. And God says, okay, you can further test him, and we know the testing that happens, his life and his health and all those things. And, there's all going on in Job. But in Job chapter 13, verse 15, Job says this, very slowly, yet will I trust him. And that's a guy that knew God. That's a guy that had the right fear. He understood who God was. And even though he went through the darkest valley of anybody I've ever heard of in my life, he went through a place where I can't imagine. In that place, he says, very slay me, yet I will trust him. That's a fear. That's a fear that Job had that was based on who God really is. He knew God in a way. He understood God's mercy and God's grace, God's long-suffering toward us. He knew that. He knew God. And that is what motivated him. That is that fear. He didn't want to disappoint his Heavenly Father, his loving Heavenly Father that he knew he provided so wonderfully for him. And so the first thing he tells him is, and Samuel tells the children here in Israel, don't quit. Follow him. And he doubles back down and serve him. He had that already. And serve him in truth with all your heart. With all your heart. And that idea of all your heart is the idea of all you have. Right? Nothing wavering. Give it your all. And that's what he tells him. He says, look, don't quit. Don't stop serving the Lord. You've sinned. Yes, you've sinned. You've done this thing. But don't stop serving the Lord. Go in. And that's what we need to do. We should be that way all the time, right? We should be that way all the time. But sometimes when we get backslidden, when we get away from God, when we begin to turn, we're not all in. You're holding them back, You have these other things that are distracting you, whatever it might be. But he kind of doubles back down on this idea of serving the Lord with all your heart. And how do we deal with that? As Samuel gives us this wisdom of serving the Lord with all your heart, can we say that that's us? Are we serving with all our heart? Every area, every aspect of our life, our family, our job, whatever it might be, can we say we're serving with all that? And that's what Samuel tells them to do after they've seen, hey, only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. And the third thing here, Samuel encourages them to remember the past blessings. Look at this, and I love this. For consider how great things he hath done for you. And let me tell you tonight, church, we also should consider how great thing God has done for us. Sometimes we get in this, this state of where, hey, we're in the valley. We call it that. We read, Psalm 23 earlier, we're in the valley. And it's hard sometimes when we're in the valley. But Samuel tells them, the children of Israel, they're in the valley. They sin. They understand their sin. They're repenting over their sin. And Samuel says, hey, remember, consider how great things he has done for you. And sometimes, hey, church family, we need to consider that. We all forget. We often forget so easily the wonderful things God has done in our lives. And it ought not to be. And Samuel says, hey, that can help you. You need to remember those things. If you're in the valley tonight, hey, remember, God has been good to you. There's things that God has done for you. The fact that you're here tonight, God has been good to you to bring you here, to bring you to this place, so many wonderful things. And maybe you're on the mountain tonight, you're like, hey, everything's going well. Hey, remember this valley. and know this, that every good and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father. That good thing that you're facing, that mountaintop that you're on, remember that's of God. And mark that down in your hearts. Consider that. Don't forget it, because there's going to come a time where you need it. There's going to come a time where things ain't rosy. And again, I know I talked about this as well. There's going to come a time where you go through some tough things. And you're going to have something to anchor back to. And Samuel here says, consider that. And so tonight, I'll encourage you, like Sandra did, consider. Consider what God's done for you. Maybe you're in the valley now. What? Think back. God has been good to you. God has been good to all of us. Sometimes we just need to stop and think about that and remember what God has done, because God won't forsake us. God is going to be there for us. Remember those past blessings. And so four don'ts from Samuel to the children of Israel after they had sinned. Don't fear. Don't fear. Don't let that slavish fear get a hold of your life. Don't let it keep you from serving and doing what you ought to do. Don't let it lead to you turn. Don't turn from God, number two. You know, when you turn from God, all those things you turn to are vain things. You know, as you go away from God, you're going closer to someone else. Those are vain things. Don't turn from God. Turn back to God. And don't be discouraged. God is advocating for you. God is on your side tonight. And not just that, but God has put people in your life that will help you. God has put you in a place with a family, with friends, in a church, in a youth group, for people that are willing to help you, to pray for you, to bear your burdens. Don't be discouraged. And number four, don't quit. You know, we all sin and come short of the glory of God. Don't quit. Make sure you have that reverent fear based on who God is. Double down on serving God and consider the wonderful blessings that God has given you in your life. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we love you, Father. And Lord, we thank you so much for your goodness in our life, Lord. Lord, we thank you so much for all that you've done for us, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity to be in your house. We thank you for the wisdom that Samuel had as he shared with the children of Israel after their sin, Lord. And I pray, Lord, people out tonight that you know, Father. I pray, Lord, that you would just speak our lips tonight, Father. I pray if there's anybody here maybe that's got some sin in their life, Lord, something that maybe they have the shame of that sin, or maybe they've fallen away from you, backslidden, Father. I pray that you encourage them tonight to turn back. God, I pray that you would just help us to use this wisdom from Samuel and consider it in our lives, Lord, that we could be drawn closer to you and more like you because of it. And we'll thank you and praise you for what you do in our midst. In Jesus' name.